grab your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Well, guys, I don't know how your week has been. You know, just being a visiting speaker or whatever from time to time. I hope you've had a good week. But I know that you know, life happens to all of us, and we go through various things. Thank you so much for those songs. They were just dead on. I mean, they were perfect for what I want to talk about today. This is a very familiar story, and it's a story about going through trials. It's about going through trials. And I think we in the Christian world have been, we've lost a lot of key people this year. I don't know if you've been paying attention. A lot of big name Christians have died, and we lost another one this week. I think Bodie Bachman, Dr. James Dobson, John MacArthur, Bodie Bachman, Charlie Kirk. And those, death is going to just bring us to heaven. I mean, we look forward to that as death gives way to victory because Jesus lives and because we have asked Jesus to be our Savior. And I hope that's the case for you, that you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. You know, life is short and eternity is forever with the Lord. And absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But in the meantime, while we live on this earth, we go through trials. And this story, which is very familiar to all of us, is about literally going through a fiery trial, right? Literally going through troubles. And what should be our attitude as we go through these things that are going to happen? The Bible doesn't tell us if we go through troubles. It says when we go through troubles. Right? They're going to happen. And so we want to look at this story, and it's so familiar, but I think there's some valuable lessons that the Lord would have us glean from His Word. Let's ask the Lord to help us, shall we, before we give it to us. Lord, this is Your Word that we're about to read, and You have given us Your Word for a reason. This is not just a familiar story that we just study in Sunday school and then not come back to it. There is something here for us, Lord, that You want us to get. So I pray that Your Word would speak to all of us, Lord, that it would challenge us, that it would help us, that it would encourage us as we go through things in this life. And I just pray that we would serve You faithfully. Give us help now as we look to Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Trials. They're definitely coming. And we're going to see now a big test that these three youngsters, these are their Babylonian names, of course, but the Bible does mention them as this as well, but they're Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, aren't they? These are true believers in Jesus and in the Lord. And let's see this story and what God would have us glean from His Word. Just as a quick reminder of chapter 2 of what has already taken place, chapter 1 and 2. So, let's just say this is a map, but I've got it. He's got some of it. And so Israel is right here. And you got the northern kingdom right where this little circle is. That's the kingdom of Israel. They were very, very wicked. Had no good kings. In fact, they were so bad that God sends the Assyrians, who are over here, to attack them. Right? Down here, we'll just say this down here. This is Judah. And Judah's got some good kings. Some not so good. So God spared them a little longer. But after a while, He says, you know what? I've got to punish y'all's sin. And so He brings from over here, from modern-day Iran,
which is in Iraq, excuse me, modern day Iraq, and Iran, right in that region there, Babylon being in Iraq, I believe. He brings them over here to conquer them. And while they're here, the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar being the king, he grabs a bunch of Jewish exiles and is going to bring them back to Babylon. Amongst them are Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These boys love God. And in chapter 2, the very first time we really hear of these guys being tested, they say, hey, man, we want you to eat this food. And Daniel, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, say, no, we're not going to eat it. We're not going to eat it. And this was a trial because they had gotten in big trouble. And yet, after they ate just water and vegetables, God honored them. And they looked better than everybody else, all these other people. And they were elevated into the kingdom. And God honored their faithfulness to him. Which brings us now to an even bigger trial. And sometimes God lets us go through smaller trials. And we need to be faithful in the small ones. And these are prepping us possibly for an even bigger trial. God wants us to be faithful and to see that God is faithful through every, even our small trials, and so that we can now trust him for even bigger trials. God is faithful in the small trials, he'll be faithful in the big trials. So again, I don't know what you've gone through this week, I don't know what you've been going through this year, but think about what God has done in the past and realize that God is faithful back then, and he'll be faithful tomorrow. He'll be faithful tomorrow. So here we are in Daniel chapter 3, and Nebuchadnezzar he just had this dream, and Daniel has interpreted the dream about this big statue and whatnot. So Nebuchadnezzar decides he's going to make a big old statue. So let's look at God's word in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. And Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image, a big statue of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits and its width was with 6 cubits. And he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, and it was probably an image of him, can't say that for sure, but wouldn't be surprising if it was one of him. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble all the satraps, all these big wigs, satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And so they all show up. I'm not going to go through all those names again, but they all came for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald proclaimed very loudly, to you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, he goes through all these musical instruments, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Let's just pause there for a second. So basically, here's the test, right? You either bow down or you burn. Bow or burn. You got to do one or the other. You either bow down to what I'm asking you to do, which is against what God would have you do, because did you catch the word there in verse 5? It says, fall down and worship the golden image. Now, this was something that God had commanded them not to do. You should not make any images. You should not bow down and worship any
You love the Lord God and Him only. And so this was a very big test, right? It kind of reminds us of today. And I really kind of want to keep this current, right? We're living in an age when Christians are getting really made fun of, censored, just tuned out, made fun of, even shot. And people cheer when that stuff happens about the world. And people hate Christians. I mean, that's where we're at. We're getting into a place where we're seeing a lot of pushback, and there'll be more coming. People hate Jesus. Jesus said, look, they hate me, and they're going to hate you too. We should expect this from the world. We should expect it. So how do we live when this is kind of what we're up against? You bow down to the culture, or you will face the consequences. Bow down to our gods, materialism, whatever, humanism, whatever other god that you can think of, you either bow down to them or you're going to be ostracized or worse. This is the trial that was set before them. So what do we do? Well, the Bible tells us that this stuff is going to happen. We must, not you might. We must go through many, not a few. Many hardships before we enter the kingdom of God. Now, we live in America, and we've been sheltered in many, many ways. Not only America, but we live in the South, in which there's a church on every corner. I was driving in this morning, and as I got in, you know, you pass Grace Baptist Church, where Wilmington Christian Academy is, and I kept going, and there was two more. I'm literally side by side. And right across the street was another Baptist church. I mean, literally, two side by side, and then one right, that was four, like, Wilmington Christian Academy, boom, Grace Baptist Church, two more, and then one right across the street. I'm like, man, we got churches everywhere. I'm not saying that's bad. But we live in America where we have plenty of facilities where we can really hear God's word. And around the world, you think that's the places where trouble's going to come. No, it's coming to America. It's already here. And I'm not talking, I don't think we need to think about hardships here as, you know, you got sick, that kind of thing. We're talking about hardships here that are tied in with our faith. You lose your job because of your stand for Jesus. In Charlie Kirk's case, you get shot for your stand for biblical truths. But getting feedback, negative pushback because of our faith, that's what we're talking about. It's going to happen. But when it happens, we are to consider it joy. When? It's going to happen. When you encounter various trials. Because the testing of your faith produces endurance. And you keep reading it, it kind of leads to other positive things. God has a way of using trials. I'm going to mention Charlie a little bit this message, and I want you to, again, our focus is on Jesus, but this is the current thing that everybody's talking about. I mean, it is the conversational piece. Freedom of speech. I mean, how do we have conversations anymore if you disagree with somebody? The way you disagree is you pull a trigger. dialogue. Right? So, there's been a lot of people thinking. I watched last Sunday. You probably did too. Sat there for 5 hours and watched that funeral on TV. And the gospel was given over and over and over again. And God has a way of using trials, right? To bring about His glory. Remember Joseph? When he was sold into Egypt, and Joseph makes this comment, it's the last chapter in Genesis. He says, "Guys, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And there's, I don't want to jump in. I'm going to talk about the five missionary men in Ecuador too, just real fast. But God has a way of turning things which look like a complete catastrophe, and He uses it to further His kingdom. God has a plan. It is coming, y'all. It's coming. It's coming to all of us. I'm not saying we're all going to get shot. It's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about hardships. Hardships are coming to all of us. Not if, it's when. Okay? So how do we act? Well, we've got to remember this as we're going to see in the story, that God is going to be with us. He's with us through them all, moment by moment, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my He's with us. Surely, not maybe, surely I am with you always. Always. Even to the very end. He's with us in a very special way, as you're going to see in this story. He is with those three boys in a very special way. He's with us. So, so, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego do not bow down. Now, by the way, Daniel's not mentioned in this chapter. Daniel was a bigwig. Daniel evidently was out of town because he would not have bowed either. We only had told of three people not bowing. Look, Daniel wouldn't have bowed either. But Daniel, he must have been on business somewhere else. All right, let's look at verse 8. For this reason, at that time, Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews, these three boys. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar, O king, O king, live forever. Jump down to verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. And they do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have brought up. What did they do? They said, we're not doing what you want us to do. We're not bowing down to your gods. This image, and let's think about us. We're not going to bow down to your idols of materialism, whatever it is. I'm not chasing, sports is not my god, is kind of what they're saying here. Chasing women is not my God. Getting drunk with alcohol is not my God. Whatever God it is, we're not doing that. We're not bowing down to your God. And Nebuchadnezzar said, what? Look at verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bring them in here. Then these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to him, hey, is this true, boys? Come on. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a second chance. Okay? Because you must not have heard the beginning. Y'all are standing in the back. Okay, I'm going to turn the music up loud this time. Because I know you're going to do right thing here, boy. All right, so I'm going to give you a second chance. Now, if you're ready,
At the moment you hear the sound of all this music and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I made. Okay, very well. I'll just chalk it up to you need to start listening a little bit better. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you from my hand? That's very pompous. Who can deliver you from me? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. Oh, yeah, yeah. Look here, man. We don't need to give you an answer concerning this matter. You guys, man, we're guilty, okay? We don't need to go to court. We don't, in fact, we don't even need to have another plane to the music. You're right, we didn't bow down. Verse 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And, by the way, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not deliver us out of the blazing fire, in other words, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. We're not going to do it. You can do whatever you want. We are not going to bow. So what did they do? We're not going to bow. We're guilty the first time. Don't play the music, king. Don't play. Because our mind is set on God. And we're going to do the right thing, even if we've got to go through more trials, like that fiery furnace. Now, you know, their faith was very, very strong. And I hope that mine would be like that. I hope that yours would be like that. When the chips are down, boy, oh boy, your heart starts beating. And sweat starts coming, what you going to do? Because you know that there are consequences. And in this case, they knew that there were some physical consequences. They were going to die. But their faith was still strong. It didn't matter that they were going to die. Bow or burn. It didn't matter if they were going to burn. Their faith in God was strong. He was going to deliver them either from the fiery furnace, or he was going to deliver them from Nebuchadnezzar's presence, and they would be with the Lord. One way or the other, they were going to get out of the furnace, or they were going to be with Jesus, be with the Lord. That's strong faith. I'm going to do the right thing regardless of what you say you're going to do to me. I'm going to put my faith and trust in God. Wow, that's really powerful. And I hope, again, that would be my response. Because you know the temptation was strong. Let's go through four of them very, very quickly. What do you think was going through your brain while they're standing there? Hey, I'm going to give you another chance. These four things you know went through their brain. You ready? How about this one? Hey, boys. Just one time. Let's just bow down. Just 5 minutes. I mean, it's only 5 minutes. You know that went through their brain. That temptation to escape the consequences. And guys, this is the stuff that goes through our brain these 4 days. When we're tempted, when Satan tempts us, right? Whatever it might be, not one time ain't going to hurt. Whatever the trial is. I'll just avoid doing what's pleasing to God, and one time ain't gonna matter. There's always consequences to those kinds of decisions. But you know that was going to do, but how about this second? Everybody else. Look at all these people. Look at all these, good night. I mean, these are all the people that we work with. They're gonna be looking at us with daggers from now on. I gotta sit beside him in the cubicle. Great day! How can I have a good job?
That don't mean you're right, by the way.
Will then, isn't that better? Not necessarily. Aren't you glad Jesus died? He could have said, we're God.
God the Father. I mean, I think I'm going to just get off this cross. I mean, they people down there said if I got off the cross, they would get saved.
That's what he said. We don't know if they would or not, but what he was thinking of us was,
I'm going to stay on that cross, to die for the sins of the world. I'm so glad he died. And he didn't give in to this temptation. He could have called 10,000 angels.
Glad he did.
And then how about this one? We're far from home. Mama and daddy ain't gonna know. My church family ain't gonna know. All the believers that went to Bible chapel ain't gonna know. Just do it one time. And again, they did not compromise. Guys, when the trials come, we can't compromise. It's gonna be easy to give in to Satan's whisperings. Hey man, you want to do this sometime? There's a way around it. There's a way around it. Stay strong. That's what they did. Stay strong. And so what did they say? They said, God, did you catch that word? He is able. He is able. Our God is able. Let that sink in. Whatever trial you're going through, man, God can't get me out of it. Our God is able. Just saying. Sometimes we don't give God the opportunity. We don't call on him when we should. God. You know, there's a great promise in the Bible. Call on me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's a great promise. Are we calling out to God? Are we giving him a chance to do above and beyond what we can ask him or think? Are we giving him a chance? He is able.
He's able. He's able. I know that he is able.
Y'all know that song? I forgot the last one. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able. He's able. Did you get it?
This is verse 17 and 18.
He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. One way or the other. I mean, you can burn us and burn us to a crisp, and we'll go right to be with Jesus. Or we're going to walk out of this thing. He will deliver us. But even if he does, deliver us from the fire. We ain't bowed down. We're not going to do it. That's what we got. That's what we got. We need to obey God and leave the consequences to him. I'm looking forward to being with Jesus. I can't wait. It's going to be great. What a future we have. To be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Obey the Lord. Let's watch for that. Then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. In other words, completely. I mean, it's hot as you can get. He commanded his army veterans, his, you know, best of the best, Navy SEALs. He commanded his certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in all their clothes, it mentions all their clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, killed them. The Navy SEALs were all killed. But these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the fires that were still tied up. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and stood up in haste and said, "What in the world do I see?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said to his high officials, "Was there not three men that we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" And they said, "Yes, sir. Certainly, O king." He said, "Well, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth one is like the son of the gods." And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of flaming fire. He said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on out, man, you servants of the Most High God, come here." And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And all these bigwigs, they were gathered around and saw in regard to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men. Nor was the hair of their head singed, nor was their trousers damaged, nor had they the smell of fire, even upon them. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him." Inside the fiery furnace, and this is what they were thinking. This is something that we need to always remember, that if we die, we'll be with the Lord. Charlie Kirk today, because of his faith in Jesus, is with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And they were very willing to be with Jesus, to be with the Lord. Now, who was this fourth guy? It's probably the pre-incarnate Jesus. The Bible sometimes talks about in the Old Testament the angel of the Lord, which is the pre-incarnate Jesus, before he came as a baby to be born. And so this was probably Jesus. You know, when we go through trials, Jesus is with us in a very special way. You know what? The Bible doesn't tell us if they recognize that fourth man. They may not have even known that he was there with them, but he was. You might be going through a trial, and you might be saying, "Where's God?" He's right there with you. "Yeah, but I don't know if I see him." See, but he's there. I will never leave. He's not only there, but if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, which will send us to hell, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you by faith, then he lives inside of you. He will never leave you in the trial. He's right there. Very special way, whether you recognize his presence or not. Now, sometimes you do recognize it, and it's extremely encouraging. Other times you walk by faith and say, "God, I don't feel you at the moment. I don't feel your presence, but I know you're here because your word says it." And you walk by faith, trusting that God is in control, and he is. I've been crucified with Jesus, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He is with us, y'all, through the fiery furnace of our life. Through the trial, he's with us. God gives us what we need, you know. Corrie Ten Boom said this in one of her books that she wrote about her. She was talking to her dad. And she had seen a dead person for, I guess, the first time. Corrie, she was a little girl. And she actually touched the body, right, of this dead person, Corrie, you know. And it really affected her. So she went back up to her room, and her dad came upstairs to tuck her in at night. And she was very concerned about death. And the wise father of Corrie Ten Boom came to Corrie and said, "Corrie, you know when we go on the train? You know when we go ride the train?" "Yeah, yeah, sure." "Yeah, and you know, when do I give you the ticket in order to get onto the train?" She says, "Well, you don't give it to me like way in advance." He says, "No, that's right. What do I give to you?" "You give it to me right as I'm getting ready to get on the train, so I can give it to the conductor." That's the way God does us, oftentimes, with His grace. He gives it to us when we need it. My grace is sufficient. When you need it, I'm there. God's grace is always available. But boy, when we go through trials, He gives us an extra dose so we can get through it. When we need it the most, He gives us what we need to get through it. He gives us what we need at that moment to get through it. When I'm driving home today, there's exit ramps, right? And I can get off and I can go see a historical place. I think one time I may have been leaving here and I stopped at Bentonville Battlefield. I love history, Civil War stuff, whatever. Maybe y'all know if y'all got tons. I love history. And so there's exit ramps and I go and I spend time at the historical site, walk around, whatever, and then get back on the highway. Let's get off the highway just for a quick second. And let's get back on the highway. This is a quick little get off diversion slide, okay? Do you know this section right here is talking about events as well. Watch how this works. The fiery furnaces. This is what's getting ready to happen. I don't know when exactly, but the next thing in prophecy after the rapture is when Christians who accepted Jesus are going to be with Jesus. This is what's going to happen for 7 years. And this is the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar is this Antichrist figure. The image is this abomination that this Antichrist is going to put in the Jewish temple. Which they're ready to build this, by the way. They're ready to build it. They got everything that they need. They don't have the red heifer yet. And they haven't built the temple yet. But they got all the stuff there. The three kids are the Jewish believers who are going to go through the great tribulation period. There's going to be believers, 144,000, etc., going to go through the great tribulation. We will be like then, raptured up. We're not going to be there during the great tribulation. And so this one chapter is kind of a foreshadowing of the future events. Okay, let's get back on the highway. But I did want to bring that out, and because that's important too. And I don't want you to miss that. Okay. All right. Let's get back on. Okay. In conclusion, time flies. Seriously, we have 5 blessed days. Guys, trials will come. They're going to come. No doubt about it. Don't be surprised if people hate you. I got into a conversation while I was watching that funeral with a guy who needs to be saved. Well, here's another one. Thank y'all for praying for Eddie Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I tell you what, I cannot wait to come here one Sunday and we're going to have a praise service. You know what I mean? I'm serious, y'all. Thank you for praying for him. There's another one that I'm praying for. I thought I was texting somebody else, and I was texting this guy. He's on my to-be-saved list. And I said, I'm sitting here watching the Charlie Kirk funeral. He wrote back, "Why?" And I said, "Who am I typing to here?" And I said, "Oh, boy, this is going to be..." And, yep, we went back and forth. And just kept going back and forth. He needs to be saved. It's going to come. I don't like getting into those conversations where it gets heated and I feel strong pushback. Trials are coming. We need to be faithful. Jesus always with us. Can I tell you a quick story? You remember the five
Petrie men got killed in Ecuador back in 1956. They got speared and shamed to death. The wives, young, they were like Charlie's age. They were in their late 20s, early 30s. These guys all five. And the wives went through a horrific time. Pretty powerful moment too, wasn't it, when Charlie's wife said, "I forgive that guy." They do. That was pretty big, right? But these wives went through this trial. The men went through it, obviously, with the physical pain that they suffered. One of the wives goes back and she was talking with some of the killers. And they made a comment that she said, "Man, I need to get verification on this." So Steve's saying his daddy had been murdered. He goes back and talks to the murderers who were still there. And many of those became Christians, by the way. And they said, "Look, man, we heard this story, and we just want some verification. Man, can you clarify what y'all saw the day that y'all murdered those five guys?" He said, "Oh, yeah, man. No doubt. Over the trees, while these men were dying, while we were spearing them and using machetes to kill them, we could hear singing, and there were people in like same clothes, like white robes or something, over the trees, and we could hear them sing." Can you say that one more time? They said, "Yeah, we were singing up above." Guys, if that is true, that what they just said, while these men were dying, like God was in the process of welcoming them into heaven with this angels who were singing, evidently. Y'all, I'm just reporting what they said. But remember when Elijah told God to open the eyes of the servant, right, so he could see the people? And God is with us during those trials in a very special way. God turns tragedy into victory. When Jesus died, that was the fulfillment of that great prophecy in Genesis where God told Satan there was going to be enmity between you and the woman and her seed and your seed. And you're going to strike his heel, and man, he's going to stomp all over your head. And that's exactly what happened at the cross when Jesus died. And that was the way we can be saved and forgiven. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead and is in heaven. What a Savior. God turns tragedy into victory. That's our God. That's our God who's in control. And people mean things for evil. And God says, "No, I'm not playing. And I'm working all things for good for those that love me." It's a very powerful thing. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God. They all work together. You know what happened when these five fishers got killed? Many people around the world said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to replace them. I'm going to the mission field. I'm going to serve Jesus like they serve Jesus." And when those five met, Satan was probably laughing, saying, "I got you five. Yeah, yeah." And God said, "Watch this. You killed five, but I'm going to raise up 500. I'm going to raise up 1,000 to replace those five. Because they're going to get excited about serving God and say, 'If you don't win, I win.'" And God just wants us to be faithful when it happens to us. Again, not necessarily saying you're going to die for your faith, although you might. But the trials are coming in some shape, form, or fashion. We got to be faithful. Through the trial, God gives us his grace, and we just need to call on him. "God, I don't know. I don't see you physically with my eyes, but I know you're here with me. I know you never leave me. You never forsake me. I'm counting on you." There's going to be many kids getting excited about Jesus. Many adults that are excited about Jesus. God turns tragedy into tragedy into victory. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You know, we can die to ourselves. In fact, this is my last slide. Whoever wants to be my disciple, Jesus said, must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses their life, either physically or at least spiritually, you will find it. I'm talking about losing your life, making yourself a living sacrifice. Lose your life. God, I'm going to live my life for you. My dreams, my desires, all of my worldly hopes, sacrificing them on the altar. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about. Now, it may cost you your life physically, but I'm talking about losing our lives spiritually. Dying to self, endure suffering, live for Jesus. That brings fulfillment and purpose, a life that God could use for His glory. Dying to self. Well, my time is up. It is 12:03. Guys, may you be encouraged to walk through these trials, being faithful to God, knowing that He's there with you, keep being faithful, keep being faithful. Let's pray. Lord, this is an old Sunday school story, and sometimes they get forgotten, just for kids. But Lord, this is a story that we need to hear in the day and age in which we live, God. Lord, you are working in America, even though things are bad. You're still at work. And Lord, there's a lot of kids now thinking about serving you. There's a lot of adults that are thinking about things since what has happened in the last 2 weeks. God, help us to be faithful, Lord. Like my friend Eric, Lord, I pray for his soul too today. I pray for Eddie Rush. I think of Eric, Lord, please add him to the list of people here. But he needs to be saved, Lord, so far from you, Lord. But we all have friends like that. All of us in this room have friends like that. And Lord, they need to be shown love and grace, truth and grace. Lord, help us to be faithful. Give us the words to say during this time. Help us to keep trusting you. Lord, if there's anyone here that is not sure that if they die today, that they would go to heaven, that they would stay behind and just chat with someone that they trust here, that they would know for sure they were on their way up. So give us a good week. Bless the congregation here in Wilmington Bible Chapel. Lord, help them in their outreaches, and may you be honored in their lives and in their chapel here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.